independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Russians also knew about what General Flynn had done. And the Russians also knew that General Flynn had misled the vice president and others. Because in the media accounts, it was clear from the vice president and others that they were repeating what General Flynn had told them. And that this was a problem. Because not only did we believe that the Russians knew this, but that they likely had proof of this information. And that created a compromise situation, a situation where the national security advisor essentially could be blackmailed by the Russians.
I'm sorry, Sally. Did you say something? Because you are dull. Politics, you know what? I love politics. I do. But some of it is showy and, quite frankly, boring as hell. And nothing today that, you know what? Every once in a while, you'll watch some of those. And there'll be some good fireworks, right? You know, get a good couple of sound bites. Sally gave us none of that. Sally... It's the name, right? First, Sally Yates sounds made up, and the name just says, "Eh, I'm gonna be boring." Like, Sally just sounds. You know any party Sally girls? Anybody? Right? Does anybody know Sally? Like, it's always like Sally, boring. That's what it was. I got to be honest too. That Michael Flynn's in trouble. The White House will do all they can to look like they're supporting him, while at the same time doing that thing. Remember when you had a little brother or sister? And they get mad at you and they start swinging, but you're bigger and you can put their hand on their head and they can't hit you. That's what they're doing right now. They're like, yeah, I know this guy and he's swinging mad. And it's crazy, but nothing's going to happen. In truth, it was, God, it was boring. I watched some of it today and I thought, woo, I know what could put me to sleep tonight. It's that. Let's hear some more of her craziness here.
The underlying conduct that General Flynn had engaged in was problematic in and of itself. We told him we felt like the vice president and others were entitled to know that the information that they were conveying to the American people wasn't true. And we wanted to make it really clear right out of the gate that we were not accusing Vice President Pence of knowingly providing false information to the American people. And in fact, Mr. McGahn responded back to me to let me know that anything that General Flynn would have said would have been based, anything that Vice President Pence would have said would have been based on what General Flynn had told him.
Wow. That is just, people are talking about this. This is, good God, that was just dull as the day is long. Producer Phil, I'm going to be honest with you. How horribly boring was that?
Huh? Was there something going on?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anthony, poor Anthony, took his life a minute ago. Don't worry, Facebook Live, that it was awesome. No more Sally. No more. How could you take something where you've got a guy who's lied to the president and lied to everybody, right? Like, they've lied to everybody. How could you take something like this and be so dull? How could you do that? How could you do that? Yes, they found a way to make it boring. Wow, that was just, and I don't care too. Here's the other thing too, is I'm at the point where I just don't care. I don't care about, wake me up when you found something else about the Russians that seem interesting, right? Wake me up when you're like, hey, wake me up when you go. I mean, that's basically it. If you could do that, be super, right? I don't care. I don't care what money he took. I don't care what he knew. He got caught because they were spying on other people and they're like, hey, we know that guy. And they went and said, hey, by the way, this guy you're going to hire, yeah, he's probably not above board as you think. So I'd just be careful there just to let you know, right? And then, of course, they're like, oh, we don't know if we really trust these people. They're lying to us all the time. They're spying on us. Well, sure enough, this guy was as above board as everybody thinks. And guess what? Blah, blah, blah. At this point in time, pick me up. We've got hard proof that Trump and Putin spoke, and they worshipped at the altar of Putin. And the pootster said, you know, like when it's the 300, right? Wake me up when it's the 300. Remember that movie? Right? King Xerxes? Right? All he wants you to do is bow down before him. That's the pooter. That's what everybody thinks. That's what all the Democrats think. Wake me up when you know something. Because right now it feels like, we're heading towards the hot gates. What's the hot gates? Read a book. See a movie. Something. All right? Good God, that was dull. I don't know how, I don't know how people do it. I really don't. It's almost like it's, there's an effort. There should be, I don't know, brought to you by Budweiser. There should be, like, intermissions. There should be some entertaining. I like, you ever watch any of those old, like, they bring the mafia guys up and they totally talk to them? That was fun.
Jeff, this is very serious.
That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get the text from that guy. You know who you are, right? You're going to email me, right? Tell me how I'm making fun of this and how this is the most important thing in the world. And I'm here to tell you right now, as a father, right? I saw the Guardians of the Galaxy yesterday and I got my son a little iPad. He got an iPad for doing so well in school and this, that, and the other. And I want him to improve on stuff for, you know, as he's growing. That was vitally important to me in my life. This was not. This was not. This investigation, all of this stuff, I don't even care. Though we do have the soundbite of the day, though. All right? We have the soundbite of the day coming from Ms. Feinstein, who is just, she is spectacular. She was actually talking about Sally Yates. We'll get to the soundbite in a second.
She apparently has some information as to who knew what when that she is willing to share, and that would be what she knew about Michael Flynn's connections. I don't want in any way say that I know what she's going to say, because I don't. But there are so many questions here as to who knew what when, what was done with this.
Well, first and foremost, let's do this. Sally, can we change your name before this? Can we give you a cool name, right? How about you wear a short skirt? You're not a bad-looking lady. Well, a little thigh there. Yeah, how about that? A little thigh, right? A little something, huh? Maybe some low cut there? I'm just saying, Sally, little something for the cameras, right? Little something for the cameras. Sex sells. They start asking you a question you're too uncomfortable for, get the girls moving. But here is the cut of the day. Listen closely.
What he could have done is said, let's just be sure. Let's get a search warrant. Let's look at the Wiener computer and let's see what there is.
What are you looking for?
Let's look at the Wiener computer.
What's the name of Dell's brand new computer that's going to set the world on fire?
Let's look at the Wiener computer.
Awesome. Awesome. Solid. The Wiener computer. We were saying earlier today, would you not have changed your name? Like, of all the names, like Wiener, like when you're a little kid, right? You know, there's just certain things you're going to get picked on. If your last name's gay, no matter, you know, we could be in this modern time, still doesn't matter, right? Right? If your last name's that, if your last name's Harry, right? Stephen Harry, Harry Steve, whatever. Yeah, it's a tough road to hoe, right? It is. But if your name's Wiener, what if your name was Vagina? Right? See? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Anthony just gave me the dirty look. Like, oh, geez. But think about that. Like, right? What if your name was Boobs? Here comes Bob Boobs. Oh, man, Bob Boobs. Boobs, Bob. But Wiener, you would think, man, of all the things, you would change your name to Williams or White or whatever, anything else, right? I was in Texas, and I think it's H-E-B is the name of the big store there when I lived there. And I believe the name of the guy who owns the store is Harry E. Butts. You would think I'm changing my name, right? I mean, come on. Chad, you've just taken this entire political thing and spun it on his head. It's dull. And I know there's going to be people out there that text me, and you can be that person, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423, who are going to text me and say how serious this is. It's no doubt in my mind it's serious, I guess. But he'd already won. What difference does it make? How does this affect you? Just curious. The overall scheme of things, do you wake up tomorrow morning and go, you know, I don't think I can go to work today because I'm still unsure about how this Flynn thing is going to play out, and is he in trouble, and do you think he's going to face criminal charges? Do you think? I don't know. What do you think we should look to?
Let's look at the Wiener computer.
Ah, the Wiener computer. You think everything's on the Wiener computer? Absolutely. Do you think she knew that was going to be a soundbite for everybody to play? Well, everybody. For people like me who are childish and seven at times. You text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Hope you had a solid, fun weekend. Good stuff on the show today. Stuff that's more entertaining, more interesting for us, the average Americans, than the 24-hour news cycle that includes us talking about a man that we'll never meet who did something he shouldn't have done, who got caught. Wasn't whistleblown. He got caught. We were spying on somebody else, and he happened to be caught up in the I shouldn't be talking like to this person, but I am. So, but doesn't affect you. Unless you're Mr. Flynn and his family, and if that's you, I apologize, then it absolutely does affect you. If you're not, then tell me how this affects you. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Your urban word, and he gets picked on a lot, does this president. How much? Wait till you hear a new report about this, because it will probably not shock you. Chad Benson Show.
Irreverent? Like, yeah. So what? It's the Chad Benson Show.
Super reverent. Somebody texts me and says it's... My grammar was wrong. I think I said Rosedhoe or Ho. I don't know. But Sally Yates is she's really just... She is just losing me here. She really is. And I've got two people already texting me. Said, Chad, you need to take this more serious. This Russian thing is very serious. I admit there's some seriousness there, but we're not going to find anything. And I want that noted. I don't believe we're going to find a damn thing in any of this that has to lead to why the Democrats think this is so important. They believe that he, the Trumpster, that man who grabs below the belt, the president of the United States, had some sort of arrangement with Putin to get him elected. That's what they believe. And I don't think we're going to find anything other than people were a little bit greedy, jumped the gun a little bit early, and did some things that they shouldn't have done. But rather than coming forward, said, you know what? I did make some calls. My bad. I was just excited. They lied about it, didn't put stuff down that they were supposed to put down. And in the end of the day, we're going to find out there's nothing there, and we're all going to move on, and this will just be for show. And then everybody thinks that, oh, my God, this it's not. It's just 24-hour news cycle, nothing else going on. You know, E, how cheap is it? Think about that today, Producer Phil. It's a perfect example. How cheap is that to throw a couple of cameras in there and film that thing all day? Everybody's got the day off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right there. That's it. You got the day off. There you go. Cheap, cheap, cheap. C-SPAN, man. They probably got no budget. They don't need a budget. All right, let's have a little bit of fun. I've got a urban word of the day for you. You can use this tonight, kids.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Your urban word of the day is Ugo. U-G-G-O. Ooh, one who's ugly, offensive to the eye, and or repulsive. Ugo. That's Ugo. Somebody's going to totally hit me up and say, you're a jerk, Chad. Yes, I am. Have we not established this? So tonight, when you're out, maybe your friends, you're out hanging, you're having a drink, and a, you know, maybe a little happy hour. You look over, and there's a guy or a girl. And she's like, ooh, that's an Ugo over there. They're like, what? And you say, oh, I learned that from Chad. That's somebody's little painful in the eye. Ugo, that there be your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Did you know that during his first 100 days in office, President Trump was the butt of more late-night jokes than any president during their first year? Trump was the focus of 1,060 jokes, to be exact. That beats the 936 jokes targeted at President Barack Obama, the 546 at President George W. Bush, and the 440 at President Bill Clinton during their first year. In fact, President Trump is on pace to have more zingers thrown his way than President Clinton did during the height of the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Ah, not a shocker. He's not a liked person by the people on the left. But if you notice there, though, take away even the people on the left. Just look at where we started with, you know, Clinton, Bush, you think Bush would add more, right? Now, I mean, it grew over time, but you think Bush would add more. And then you had, Barack. There was a lot of jokes comparatively to Bush in his first 100 days, almost double that. Then you get to him. And this guy is, first of all, some of it he's done to himself. Let's be 100% honest. Some of it's not fair as far as the way that everybody views him in the left side of the media. And the other thing is, for a lot of comics and stuff, he is easy. I can walk out on stage tonight anywhere doing comedy. I could walk out on stage tonight. I could say something like, man, I can't believe this idiot's in the White House. This Trump. People start clapping. And you can do 10 minutes of him. It's easy to do. Sometimes he writes his own jokes. But other times, it just doesn't matter because people are so receptive of it. Because the left gets out there. They push the narrative. It's part of the business, though. I think he's accepted that. I think he does have thin skin. I'm not going to lie to you. I think he's got thinner skin than some of the other presidents. But I think some of that's because he feels like he doesn't get a fair shake. And that is absolutely true. If you say that he gets a fair shake from the media, you are fooling yourself. You are absolutely fooling yourself. Look, the left, the right went after Obama like the right does. Right? When somebody else is in the White House, just like the left would do. But the media has gone after this guy long before he became president and continues to do something. So, and he was the butt of the jokes long before, and he's the president now, and he's continuing to be so. I mean, the FCC, they're now looking at, you know, whether or not, what's his name, in late night, Colbert crossed the line. You know, I think it was embarrassing for him, and I think it was a cheap shot at the position itself, despite who is the president. I don't think you do something like that. But come on, it's so easy. It is so easy to do because it's cheap laughs. Show somebody with some cojones to go out there and say, you know, this guy is not as bad as you guys think. But everybody's afraid to look around and go, oh my God, I hope people aren't looking at me because I voted for him and I don't want people to know I did. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I don't think anyone's going to be beating down the door of this group of 12. I think we want to let them do their work, let them work this out. They're all very mature. They all know what's going on. They all know the commitments that we've made. A better system with more choices, more options, lower premiums, keep your doctor, all the things that President Trump promised. We started that process. We got it through the House, and now it's off to the Senate.
Now we'll see. That's Reince Priebus, or as we like to know him, thanks to our good buddy Don King, Rance Priskin, the great gunfighter, talking about, you know, this whole healthcare thing last week. And we're going to break it down a little bit more. But over the weekend, the talking heads were doing what talking heads do. They talk about stuff that is, you know, this is important to people. The Mike Flynn, I'm not saying it's not important. What I am saying is it's really not important to the day-to-day lives of you and I and everybody else. That's what I was trying to point out. It's not. It's not important to our day-to-day lives. It doesn't affect you or I. Nothing's coming of it. It doesn't mean if you're on one side or the other and it goes the way you think it's going to go that you get some sort of an award. It doesn't. What does matter, though, is we are in a world of hurt when it comes to what to do with our world of healthcare, which binds all of us up inside because it costs a ton of money. We're not getting the kind of care we thought we were going to give. And get. And what it's doing is frustrating the hell out of us. And it's causing individuals to make serious, serious, serious decisions about what to pay each and every single month. And the Republicans last week, they dumped it all out, right? They got rid of it all. Senate, it's yours. Not mine anymore. Hot potatoes coming to you. And then they went home and they faced their constituents. Case in point, Republican Congressman Raul Labrador. Look at that name, Raul Labrador. That doesn't even sound like a real name. Anthony Weiner, Raul Labrador. Which one would you like to have? Right? I bet you Engelberg Humperdinck would have. Would you rather have Engelberg Humperdinck or Anthony Weiner? I'd rather be Engelberg Humperdinck. But Raul Labrador, Idaho, goes home, faces his people. Then he says this. And remember, there's a fear factor for a lot of these guys and gals who go back because they know they're going to have to face constituents that are scared, that are confused, which is really the big word right there. And they're coming and facing these people and asking them serious questions, and you don't come back with nobody dies.
You're mandating people on Medicaid except dying. You are making a mandate.
No, one wants anybody to die. You know, that line is so indefensible. Nobody dies because they don't have access to health care.
Whoa, bro, slow your roll. First of all, can we be honest? While everybody was up in arms there, people have died because of lack of health care. But people also die because they have health care. In the end, if death is coming for you, you're going to die, right? You're going to die. People have health care, and they die. They do. It happens. I know we don't want it to. Look, let's be honest. Nobody wants anybody to die. But we have, you know, Medicaid, and depending on where you live, Medicare, depending on where you live and, you know, what state, you know, here we have Medi-Cal, and there's always an opportunity for you to try to get something. Doesn't mean you will. Doesn't mean you seek it out. Sometimes you don't have health care, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and then you go, and it's too late. But the big thing about this is it's confusing as hell. Therein lies the magic of all. 1,685 pages, I believe it is. Confusing as hell. Nobody knows where it's going to go. I talked to people over the weekend. You know what? They thought it was going to start in the next week or two. And they were worried. Some of them even called their doctors. I'm like, why? Because they don't understand it. They don't understand any of it. It's written to be confusing. It's very confusing. And they don't even understand that, look, this is basically putting us back to 2009. That you are going to have an opportunity to, you know, pre-existing conditions are going to be there. The difference is now is you've got to stay on your policy, right? If you have a policy and you have a pre-existing condition, you've got to stay on. And if you lose and it lapses for X amount of months, 63 days to be exact, they can charge you a 30% premium hike, but they can only do that for a year. And, oh, by the way, if you have trouble paying for it, they put $138 billion into this thing that will help you cover the cost of that. So it offsets that. There's so many little things in there. But the problem is the Democrats, it's easy. They come out and they say, you hate people. You want them to die. Grandma's going over the cliff. Everybody's going to die. People are going to die. All they use the word die. And all of those are quick, easy sound bites to explain something. You must talk for a little longer than 30 seconds. We have the attention spans in this country of gnats. And because of that, it's easy to say people are going to lose their lives. And for you then to come back and go, no, they aren't. They want to know why they're not. But can you do it in a McDonald's fast food style snapshot so I can deal with it? You can, and it doesn't matter. The messaging by the Republicans has always been their biggest issue. And it's not hard to keep it simple, stupid. People want to know you're with them. People want to know you feel their pain. You understand their concerns and their fears. And they want a little bit of empathy. And obviously the understanding side of things. And if you go back and say, look, we're going to go back to pre-2009, all right? You're going to have opportunity for pre-existing to even continue to stay on there. We're going to, you know, I mean, they want to know all of these things because that's the big thing. What about? Well, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. It's tough out there. I understand that. But they want you to break it down completely. And say, and here's something I haven't heard enough. Look, I know you guys are scared, and I know you're all upset because you don't know where you stand, you don't know what is going to happen, you don't know any of those things. But can I tell you something? If we do nothing at all, it blows up in our face and it's non-recoverable at that point in time. So the Democrats can tell you all they want about how everybody's going to die. Well, guess what? This thing's dying on its own. We don't have to do anything for it. Should we let it crash or should we do all we can to fix it? Just curious. But they don't do stuff like that. Their messaging is poor. The message should be is we're going to go pre-2009. It's going to be a little bit like that, but we've worked in some stuff that is going to be good, including $138 billion to help offset costs that people may see rise, and people are going to get tax breaks. Yes, the rich will get tax breaks, but they're always going to get tax breaks. Understand that. But we're going to do all that we can to fix this and give everybody the best shot, because if we don't do the right thing, it's going to fail. And then if you think people are going to die because of what we did, find out what happens when everything collapses and everybody's staring at each other. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBenzieShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. I read an interesting study about medical studies. And it was great. It's in the New York Post. And talk about the fact that medical studies, most of medical studies that are out there, are completely bogus. Most of them are completely bogus. And not only that, but the expense of these. Get ready for this. $28 billion a year. $28 billion a year in taxpayer costs, resources, things that go to all of these medical studies, grants and whatnot. Now, are they all bogus? No. But what they're saying in this is most medical studies are, first and foremost, they're written by groups that want to find out something, right? So we want you to find a medical study out of why X, Y, and Z Coca-Cola soda is good for you, because we're a drink company. We're getting hammered that we're the reason America's fat. Or you think you found a gene that is going to change obesity, that is going to change something, right? So what's the first thing you want to do? You want to get published, because the more that you are talked about, the more that you are read, the better it is for you to get A, more money, because you have B, notoriety. And then what ends up happening is these things get challenged. Other scientists, they go out and they start to challenge your hypothesis, challenge your scientific viewpoint, and they start to take it apart piece by piece. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes, you're right. But more often than not, and well over two-thirds of the time, none of these things are ever talked about afterwards when they come out the first time. And when they do get challenged, you never hear about it. It's like when somebody makes a mistake in the paper the next day, you know, they put it at the bottom of the page 4 days later with an apology right next to the score of a Little League game, and that's their apology. You never hear about that. So when we hear about the study of, oh, did you hear that bacon and eggs and pizza in the morning is the best thing in the world for you? Find out, A, who spent the money to do the entire research, and B, what happens 6 months or a year from now? Look it up. But they say most of these things are completely bogus. Richard Harris has a book out called Rigor Mortis, How Sloppy Science Creates Worthless Cures, Crushes, and Hopes, and Wastes Billions. And it does. He says, one particular enraging example: for many years, researchers on breast cancer was conducted on misidentified melanoma cells, which means that thousands of papers published in credible scientific journals were actually studying the wrong cancer. That's not good. It's a competitive world, too. By the way, science is uber competitive. It is very competitive. They want to be right because it means more for them, but they want to be able to prove you wrong. So you come out with something that says X, Y, and Z about this gene. Somebody comes out and says, no, I've done it. I've done all of the research. I've looked at it. I broke your thing down, and it's actually A, B, C. What they're trying to do is discredit yours, not because they don't like you, but because that's the world we live in. It's a competitive place. They're competing for dollars as much as anybody else. That's why I take these things with a grain of salt. I always laugh. I'm sure I could go out and I could find a doctor that says, hey, you know what? If you eat one donut a day, it's not going to kill you. In fact, it may be okay. He might be Dr. Donut, but still, I'm just saying. God, that'd be great. Donut Friday? Could you imagine donut Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Oh, my God. Delicious. That's why I take all of these things with a grain of salt that you see, you know, that butter's better for you, or that maybe high cholesterol, maybe not high cholesterol. You know what it is? It's your genes. Are your genes good? If your genes are good, you'll be lucky. There are people out there that eat like crap every day, and they're going to live to be 100 years old, and there are people out there like that dude from The Biggest Loser, Bob, whatever his name was, and he, you know, has a heart attack at 50 or 55 because even though he's in the greatest shape, that will never be it, right? 32-inch waist, zero body fat, six-pack, all of that stuff, has a heart attack. Why? Because his genes. It's just, it's the luck of the draw. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Saw a movie this weekend. Oh, yes, I did. And I'm going to break it down for you. And it was deliciously hilarious. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I love that song. Who is that, Phil?
I have no idea.
Poor Phil. Phil says, I have no idea. Phil was great this morning, and unfortunately, I think over the airwaves, we have given him the cooties. Remember when you were a kid, man? Like, the cooties were the Ebola of the playground. That was the Ebola of the playground. Like, oh, dude, you hear? Jimmy got the cooties. No way. Yep. Yep. Is he quarantined? Yeah. Yeah, he's going to have to be quarantined. He really is. That's horrible. I know, right? It's like your parts of your playground were, for all intents and purposes, like the Congo. Right? It's like that was the Congo. So, oh, my God, he got the cooties. Will he live? I don't think so. I think it's bad. Don't go near him because it's contagious. Over the weekend, Jack and I paid a little visit to the movie theater, and we saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Can I just say, I love the movie. All right, it's incredible. And some of the jokes were well over Jack's head, but a lot of the jokes weren't, and they made me laugh as much as anything else. And I was trying to figure out, like, my favorite character in the movie. There's like the little itty bitty Groot is, he's just, you know, and it's funny that Vin Diesel's Groot, because all it says is, I am Groot. That's all it says. I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. And then, of course, you've got Bradley Cooper plays the raccoon. He's great. And then you've got Drax, the Destroyer, played by Dave Bautista, the ex wrestler. And he is hilarious. He is absolutely, to me, he steals a lot of the movie with his just odd kind of makeup. And we were talking about it earlier with Anthony and Phil, and I just said, you know what it reminds me of is, like, you know, like you said, Bones the first year or so, or Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory, where he says things and he doesn't understand that other people have feelings. And it's great. It's absolutely great. Movie took in $150 million here. When all is said and done and calculated, they'll look it up. It'll be right around 100 and in between 140 and 150 million. Took almost 460 million worldwide. $146,510 opening weekend, $425 million worldwide. But now here's the thing. There are so many movies coming out over the next several, you know, weeks because it's summertime. There's no break, right? That's why I look at, like, Deadpool was perfect. They released their movie, I think it was like February, right? And it was perfect because there was nothing to challenge in it. There was some romantic comedies, but outside of that, there was nothing to really challenge it. And while it's great that you have this big opportunity because you want to have that summer blockbuster, it's only a blockbuster for a week or two and then something else comes out. I didn't realize, like, by the end of the month, we have got Baywatch, which I think is actually going to be big, way bigger than Chips. And here's the, if Baywatch is huge, is Zac Efron officially a movie star? The Rock's a movie star, but Zac's had some hits and misses, but does this make him kind of a movie star? Maybe. You've got a movie that's going to save Johnny Depp's career again. You've got another Pirates of the Caribbean movie that actually looks very good. You've got a Spider-Man movie. You've got a Thor movie. You've got a Wonder Woman movie that comes out in a couple weeks. So you don't get that whole, like, hey, we've got 4 weeks to not, to have no competition. Like, you look at Fate and the Furious. It had 3 weeks where there was nothing around it. That was perfect. But Guardians was great. If you have a kid, and Jack's six, he'll be seven in less than a month, or almost about a month. So it wasn't too big for him, and the jokes were good enough. And there's a lot of jokes in there that adults will get. And the action wasn't so bad as to scare little kids. I thought it was great, and I look forward to the next one because, oh, yes, you make $500 million almost in the opening weekend. There'll be another one. I'm just pointing that out. Solid fun hour. We got through it, and we didn't break anything much. Or did we? The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text us, 323-538-2423. This year, be the one and only Monday edition of the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.